Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
Awesome, awesome. So I am all about the love songs. I found so many love song things, and you're just lucky, because I was about to have like a band, boy band mashup, and Lauren's like, oh please, no. I was like, yeah, NSYNC and Backstreet. She's like, no.
He didn't tell you. He was going to do it himself.
Yeah, I was just going to sing it to you myself, but she stopped me, so I don't know why she did that. All right, so we're going to be continuing. I can't sit down yet. We're going to be continuing the series, and this transformed series, talking about how God is radically transforming our lives by the renewing of our mind, right? Romans 12:2 talks about that, how we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so last week we talked about emotions, and we talked about how they are meant to fuel us, not rule us. How they're meant to fuel us for what God's created us for, because God gave us emotions. Emotions are not the enemy, and they're not meant to rule us and lord over us and dictate our actions, right? A lot of times we chase after that emotion of happiness, and every action that we do tries to chase after that, and God says, no, that's not what it's about, right? And so I think what's cool is we're going from emotions now into relational health. Talking about what does it mean to have God radically transform our lives in the area of relationships. And so, man, a lot of times, emotions play a big part in the area of relationships, right? So it plays a big part in our area of relationships and how we handle relationships, how we handle some of those things. And so tonight, what I want to talk about is this whole idea that where you are in your relationship, whatever relationship you might be, whether some of you guys are, you're in a relationship, and some of you are like, the single ladies, right? Or fellas. The single fellas. No? Okay. Some of you guys are single, some of you guys are in a relationship, some of you have been in a past relationship, and so no matter where you are, some of you guys are in friendships, but every relationship that we have prepares us for the next stage in life. So that's one of the notes on your note sheet there, is every relationship that we have prepares us for the next stage in life. So it doesn't matter if it's a romantic relationship. He's so cute. He's so hot, right? But it's this whole idea that every relationship, friendship and everything, prepares us for the next stage in life. And so how we handle relationships is a big deal. So what I wanted to do a little bit was do something different. I asked Lauren to come up on stage, up front with me, and we wanted to talk about relationships together, and we wanted to talk about it in terms of our relationship and where it all began, and hopefully we'll see together how God needs to work in our everyday relationships, that it's not just, well, when I get in a romantic relationship years from now, when I'm 30 and I finally get a boyfriend or girlfriend, then I'll start thinking about these things. But no, this is true of, hey, every relationship we get in helps prepare us for the next stage in our life. And so Lauren and I, we've been married for 5.5 years, but this last February, I realized we've been dating for 11 years, and we've known each other for 14 years. So how many of you guys are 14? Anyone at 14? How many is younger than 14? So a couple. All right, so we've known each other longer than you guys have been alive, which is kind of crazy to me. That just makes me feel really old. That started past February. We've been dating for 11 years, but our story didn't start there. It actually started even earlier than that, when a boy met a girl.
Okay, so I'm going to start with where Pastor Donnie and I met. We actually went to high school together, and we met at a sports awards banquet. That thing that you dread at the end of every sports season. So our first meeting was like any other person that you would meet. We met, said hi, we talked, and we became friends. So I am the kind of person, I run late every day to school when I went to school. Now I just run late, period. But when I went to school, I ran late, and I'm not a morning person at all. How many of you guys, you know, Lauren's not a morning person?
Yeah.
Okay. Lauren's not a morning person.
So Pastor Donnie, totally a morning person. So his first class was next to my locker, and every morning he would hit on me while I had like 2 minutes to get to class. So just a little bit annoying. Just a little bit. But the more that we talked and the more we hung out, we became friends. Do you guys have like a lunch table that you sit at? Like that's your spot? Okay. So I was totally a floater, but that's how our school was too. Like everyone kind of had their spot that they sat at. And I actually started sitting at Donnie's table, and I hung out with his friends, and he totally sat at the nerd table, just so you guys know, little tidbit. But from there, our relationship just continued to grow, and eventually we started hanging outside of school. So it's really important to build good relationships now, because you're learning how to put the skills into practice for habits later in the life. How you handle your relationships today will shape your tomorrow.
That's so true. Make sure you guys catch that. How you handle every relationship, our friendship, it shaped our tomorrows, because we build skills and build habits. And Proverbs 27, verse 17 states this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And it's this whole idea that we're set up to help sharpen one another. So basically that's talking about how relationships are supposed to help form you into who God created you to be. I've said it so many times. We can't do life alone. We weren't meant to do it alone. We're meant to do life together. And I would argue that we can't accomplish what God's created us for by ourselves. We have to be in a relationship with other people. So as our friendship grew over time, that was her freshman year. And no, I just want to say, I didn't just flirt with her. She also had a cute locker person mate right next to her, so I flirted with her as well, because she was more of a morning person than Lauren was, so I was like, hey, whatever. And Lauren sat at my table, and so I used her. I always made her peel my oranges. How many of you guys like hate peeling oranges? Because I don't have fingernails to peel it, and so Lauren was my orange peeler for me. So our relationship, our friendship grew over time, and if you've ever heard Lauren talk about our relationship, she always says this: Donnie is a slow mover. He is a slow mover. He is really slow. And so I finally got to a point where I noticed something different about Lauren. It was my now senior year in high school. And I noticed something was different. And I this was what it was. Whenever it was time to clean up, she was always the first person to start picking up trash. Whenever there was lunch to be served, she was always the first person to step in line to start serving everyone else. She was a servant. Through and through. And she didn't need to be told what to do. She just did it. She saw a need and she filled it. And it was, for some reason, it just started to illuminate and get really big that I started to realize that in my friend. And so I finally got enough guts up to ask. And if you've ever asked somebody out, you know, there's this moment of like, oh man, what's going to happen? And so it was after a play and we were striking the set and she had gone out. And we were striking the set, and she had come back, and she came back up to me, and I was like, awesome, cool, awesome opportunity right here. But I didn't realize what had happened while she was outside. And so what happened while you were outside, while I was inside?
Oh, I was supposed to be going on a date with another guy, and I kind of wanted to bail on him because I really didn't want to go with him, but I was nice, so I was like, yeah, I'll go on a date with you. And so I walk out to his car with him because he's leaving, and he goes in to give me a kiss goodbye, and I totally gave him the cheek. Like,
so
over here.
It was awkward. So needless to say, she comes running in. She's like, oh, my gosh, this guy just tried to kiss me kind of thing. And she's like venting, and oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Oh, gross. And I'm like, uh-huh. So anyways, I was thinking about us. And I was thinking, you know, what if we started to date? Let me tell you something, guys. Timing is everything. And I had horrible timing. And so she just looked at me and she's like, are you kidding me right now? That's not really the response you want when you're like, so how about us kind of thing. You're hoping for like, yeah. She's like, are you kidding me? Donnie, I will never, never go out on a date with you. No way. I'll never do that. And I was like, oh, okay. And so it was this moment where I just felt like, okay. And sometimes in our life, we'll get these moments where God tells us something. And it feels like this isn't working out the way that I thought it was going to. God, why are you telling me to do this? It's not working. And so I felt like I was supposed to keep pursuing her. I'm kind of bullheaded and thick-skulled, so when you tell me no, I don't always register that it's no. And so I'm like, okay, that means try harder. Okay, so now listen to me. Some of you guys, this is not giving you permission to be a creepy stalker. All right, I'm just saying, it worked out for me, but it doesn't work out all the time. All right, so do not think that, oh, no means just try harder, okay? And then, like, you show up at her house, I love you, and, like, ride it in her lawn with a lawnmower and stuff. No, don't be a creepy stalker guy. So, but I tried several times. I kept trying and said, hey, what about this? And she finally said, okay, if you want to hang out with me, why don't you come earn money for me to go on this band trip by working concessions with me at this game? So I'm working for her to earn money. And I was like, will you be there? Yeah, I'm in. Totally. Let's do this. This is awesome. And so we worked a couple concessions together. I don't know. It was like three or something like that. And this happened in November. And it was through December time frame and into January. And finally, her friend was like, hey, let's go on a double date. And I was like, yes, let's go on a double date. And Lauren's like, fine, but I'm picking the place. I'm picking where we're going. I'm picking what we're doing what time and all that. Okay, whatever you want. So it was one of those things that we started going out, and then the first date, let me tell you, was awful. The worst ever. It was like, why? Why would we ever do this? Why would we think this would work? This is awful. We are horrible together. We were like at each other the entire time. It was awful. And then her friend was like, we had such a great time. Let's go out on another double date. And Lauren's like, no. And so we went out on another double date. And then she started using me for transportation to a missions trip practice that I was like teaching human videos at. And her mom was like, hey, since you're already driving past our house, why don't you just pick up Lauren and go? And I was like, okay. And so we started, I was just being used by her and her mom now, going back and forth. And then finally, on Leap Day, February 29th, it happened that we were driving back, and she goes, listen, Donnie, this was the best ever. This is always what you want to hear, guys. Hey, I'm just going to break your heart. I'm going to hurt you. You're going to be just mortified, and you might never be the same if we start this relationship together. But if you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to be your girlfriend. Yes! All right! So I was like, score! Absolutely. Let's get this whole relationship thing started. So that happened, and that was awesome.
I kept every one of those promises, too. But anyways.
No.
So we're going to talk about boundaries in relationships. So Pastor Donnie and I are now officially a couple. We're in a relationship, and naturally.
Isn't that studly? That is such a great picture. Don't you want to dance with that guy at prom?
No, you don't. Okay, so we're now officially in a relationship, and naturally, the physical part comes next. So it's important to decide before you even get in a relationship where your boundaries lie. A lot of people say, hey, I'll wait until I get into a relationship, or hey, that's kind of a ways down the road. Like, I don't need to decide those things now. But just newsflash for you. The minute someone asks you out or even starts talking to you, flirting with you, whatever, what do you guys call it now? Hitting on you? Okay, kind of old terms, all right? But anyways, it's been a while since I've been hit on. So, I mean, I was hit on earlier
today. Hey, how you doing?
I got a point.
Are you from Tennessee? You're the only 10 I see. Did it hurt? No. When he when he fell from heaven?
Okay.
Is your daddy a baker?
I had a really good point.
Because you got nice buns? Continue.
Sorry, I can't. Okay, so, anyways, people are talking about how they're going to wait on boundaries. This is a boundary right here. You could go ahead and set up. You walk away when someone says something like that to you. Okay? So, but it's important to set up boundaries now. When someone asks you on a date or even starts talking to you, this is the first opportunity for a boundary to be crossed. So there's lots of gray areas when it comes to boundaries, though, and different people have different boundaries, and that's good. That's okay. Everyone's different. We're not here tonight to tell you where to set your boundaries at. We're just telling you tonight to make sure you've got some boundaries and to keep them. Romans 12, 9 through 11. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When you're setting your boundaries, something that you need to keep in mind is, are the boundaries I'm setting helping draw my boyfriend or girlfriend closer to God? It's not about how far is too far or how close to the line can we get? Can we push it? Is that too, you know, it's not about that, but it's about how can I help myself and my girlfriend or boyfriend not separate themselves from God? So what you do with your boyfriend or girlfriend is a reflection of God to other people. How you're reflecting Christ's love to others in your relationships. So, once you've set up your boundaries, stick to them. One of Pastor Donnie and I's boundaries when we were dating was that we weren't going to be in a house alone together. Because honestly, it's really easy to be tempted when you're alone, and appearances really do matter, and it just looks bad. So it was important to us and to those around us, those that looked up to us, like my younger brothers and the other people that we knew, to see that we were staying pure and we left no margin for them. So we believe this so much to the point that one night we were headed back to my house, and we got to my house and there were supposed to be parents there and my parents weren't there. So we called them up and we were like, hey, where you at? We're home alone. You're going to be home anytime soon. You were supposed to already be here. They're like, yeah, we'll be there in 5 minutes. Okay, my mom's version of 5 minutes is more like 20 or 30. But we were like, okay, if it's really 5 minutes. So we waited for 5 minutes in the house. And 5 minutes passed. No parents, no brothers, nobody else. So at that point, we had a decision. We could either cross boundaries that we had set up for ourselves. Because honestly, my parents gave us permission, right? To be sure, you guys can be in the house. Or we could head back out to the closest grocery store to be around other people. And yeah, it was convenient or inconvenient, but looking back, we made the right choice by leaving.
And that goes so much, boundaries are so much about appearances as well. That whole appearance of things, we could have sat there and watched TV. Nothing would have happened. It would have been fine or whatnot. But somebody could have easily said, oh dude, I totally know what you did. What? And then they could start spreading stuff, because all of a sudden we put ourselves in a situation that could be compromising. And so when you start looking at boundaries like that, and we said, yeah, we're not going to tell you what boundaries to set. In one sense, yes. In another sense, I mean, the Bible is very clear about sexual immorality. But how far is too far? And, you know, you're always in these relationships of you know, is making out bad? Can I kiss? Can I not kiss? Whatever it is. And it goes back to that thing that Lauren said is this situation, whatever it is that you're thinking, I want to go to this point. I want to make out just 5 minutes, right? Is that drawing your girlfriend or boyfriend closer to a relationship with Jesus Christ or not? Because that's when it all comes down to it. That's what we want. We want to spur each other on to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it's almost stricter, because it's like, man, even doing this isn't really spurring them on. This isn't really encouraging them to get closer. And so it's one of those things that's like, yeah, Is kissing okay? Yeah, but what element of kissing is spurring them on to an element of saying, God, I want you to be made real to them in every aspect of life. So as we continued in our journey, we were 6 months now we had been dating, and I go off to this awesome thing called college, right? And I go off. I love how in all of these pictures, Lauren looks incredible, and I look like a dork. Man, who picked these pictures out, right? So I went off to college out to Oral Roberts University, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's an incredible, incredible university. And it's one of these things that changed my life and how I viewed God and how I viewed myself in light of who God is and who he created me to be. And it was incredible. So while I was there, though, it's about 4.5-5 hours away. And so we started this thing that a lot of people think is impossible. It's called a long-distance relationship. And it is very difficult, but it's very doable. It's actually a lot easier than what people make it out to be. And we decided, you know what, this is a part that we were going to do, because I want to talk about next is trust. So like I said, on that piece of paper, there's elements in every one of our relationships that everyone has. Some are strong, some are weak. The first is boundaries. Everyone has boundaries. Some are strong, some are weak. The second one is trust. Some have really strong trust, some have really weak trust. They get jealous real easy. And so, you know, I wanted to experience everything there was as a freshman. Freshman in college, yeah, woo! What is there to do? It's going to be so much fun. And Lauren was a senior in high school at the time. So she wants to end her senior career. Like, let's just, like, make memories and let's have an awesome time. And so all of a sudden, we got very self-centered, very self-focused. And here's the thing about trust. I want you to know, and you can write this down. In order for you to trust them, your boyfriend or girlfriend, you have to trust him, him being God. In order for you to trust them, you have to trust him. And this is, you know, we often think about that we are the ones that make the relationship work, but actually it's God that even enables us to have one. And so throughout our college years, the story of Abraham and Isaac was something that we constantly turn back to and constantly thought of. And I want to read through this. It's Genesis 22, verse 19, because this is a story of trusting God even when you don't understand and even when it seems like circumstances are against you. Because Lauren and I did a lot of stupid things that ended up hurting one another because we were very selfish in what we did. We put ourselves above the other person. So, and we were ultimately not trusting God in the situation, but God kept saying, I want you to learn what this is. And so Genesis 22, it says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. All right, so Isaac, this precious thing. Let me tell you something before we get too far into this. Lauren is my first girlfriend. She's my first kiss. I didn't date anyone until I met Lauren. Now, I had gone out on, like, to prom and homecoming, and I had, like, those crushes and talking to other girls and stuff, but she was my first, like, official girlfriend. So she was something that was treasured. Like, I was like, this is awesome, because I didn't know if I, you know, looking at those pictures, I don't know how I got a girlfriend, but it was one of those things that I realized that, man, this is awesome. So all of a sudden, I felt like this relationship was an Isaac, and I was Abraham, that God had given me this awesome thing, this promise. And so all of a sudden, just like Abraham, Isaac saying, or God saying, take your son, your only son, or to me, take this relationship, the only relationship you've had. And so it says, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. That is really hard. All of a sudden, God's saying, I want you to take this relationship and give it to me and trust me completely with it. And so early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. He had cut enough wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Imagine 3 days just walking, 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 thinking, I have to take the very thing that God gave me away, that God's taking this back away from me. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I go and the boy go over there. We'll worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham had a lot of faith that God was going to provide a way whether it was resurrecting him from the dead or something. He's like, man, I know God promised me Isaac. I know he's going to make a way somehow. And so all of a sudden, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I feel like Isaac was just an idiot at this point. He's like, right? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Then they reached the place God had told him about. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Man, what a moment. That Abraham came to this point of saying, God, you can have my son, the very thing that I treasure. And in our relationships, whether they're friendships, whether they're romantic relationships, we got to come to a point where we say, God, I don't want to put this relationship over you. So often, and I've seen it time and time again, we get so passionate about this romantic relationship that we start to put it over God. We start to put it over our other priorities. And at this moment, Abraham said, no, I'm willing to even put it to death for you, God. And so God saw that, and he said, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there was in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering and said to his son, instead of his son. And so Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven for a second time. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. This is the third concept I want to talk about that your relationship needs to have, and that is an open hand. That Abraham had an open hand, and for Lauren and I, as long as we had an open hand, then God allowed that relationship to be there. So when we hold our relationship with an open hand, then our relationship honors God. I want to do something here. Emily, can I borrow your pen? All right, so, Emily, this is your pen. Would you like your pen back?
Yeah.
Okay, you can take it. Feel free. Okay. Emily let that pen stay there as long as she wanted it to, and she could take it back at any point. Can you put the pen back in? And so when we talk about having your relationship with an open hand, it's saying, God, you could take this relationship away anytime that you want because I trust you completely. But often we start to say, no, the relationship is all about me, and it all depends on me. And so then, Emily, can you take your pen back now? Then all of a sudden, no, take your pen back. Take it back. All of a sudden, take it back. You're not taking it back. All of a sudden, we're in this fight. You know who we're fighting with? We're fighting with God. You're not going to... Ow! Sometimes when we fight with God, it hurts, right? But there's all of a sudden, there's this moment that we start fighting with God. And we say, no, this relationship, I can make this relationship work. This is all me. I can do this. And God's saying, you just need to give it to me. And all of a sudden, we see that there's this concept of we need to have an open hand. Only God allows our relationship to be there. And so if we're still in a relationship, that means that, all right, God, we've given it to you, and you've provided a way. We can trust you completely with that. So don't fight with God about that.
Okay, so during Pastor Donnie and I's second year apart, I was at Evangel University. I chose to go there because I wanted to surround myself with other Christian believers. And everyone has different experiences, and the choices that we make, that's what makes our experiences. But I honestly got frustrated because I felt like I was living around a bunch of people that were living a hypocritical lifestyle. And I see now, looking back, that it's because of the friend choices that I made and who I hung out with. But nonetheless, I ended up moving home to the University of Kansas. So that's why you guys see me in Kansas t-shirts all the time, because that's where I graduated from. While I was there, I started working at our church, and I absolutely fell in love with ministry. I knew God had called me into the ministry, and that is what I wanted to do. I could have chosen to change schools so that I could have been near Pastor Donnie, but instead of focusing on my boyfriend, I chose to focus on God and what he had for me and the plans that he had for me. During that time in my life, all of us, we get this at graduation, and it's become a verse that's almost cliche, but it's something that you can really hold fast to. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I can't imagine where I would be right now if I would not have chosen to follow God's plans, and if I would have chosen to follow after my boyfriend. Because that honestly was my choices. I can choose to follow God, or I can choose to follow him. Don't focus on your boyfriend or girlfriend, but focus on God and the plans he has for you. Your relationships either push or pull you to God. There's no middle ground. So make sure that the relationships that you are in are pushing you closer to God. Like Pastor Donnie said, I was his first and his only girlfriend. But I had dated a few other guys before he came onto the scene. So when you date someone, there's a connection that you will make with that person. And in the movies, a lot of times, they call it chemistry. But there's this piece of you, your heart, that you give to that person. And this doesn't just go for romantic relationships. This goes for all relationships. I know he's really distracting. Don't look at him for a minute. Look at me. So it goes for all relationships, whether it's a friendship or more than that. You give a little piece, there's a connection that you make with that person. So it's very important not to get too physically or emotionally connected to someone that you're dating. And I'm not saying don't be unemotional, because as we talked about last week, God gave us our emotions for a reason. They're a gift from him. So I'm just saying be healthy with your emotions. Every boyfriend that I ever had or guy that I dated, we're still friends. And I mean, are we best friends? Absolutely not. Donnie's my best friend. But if I saw them in the grocery store, or if they're on my Facebook wall, I can actually have a nice, non-awkward conversation with them. And it's because I practiced building good relationship skills back then with those friends, so that one day I would be able to use them with my husband. It's important to be intentional in every relationship. It's important to be intentional in every relationship. The point of dating is to find out what you want or what you would like in a spouse. So you don't need to connect yourself to every single person that likes you or you like or that you date. Go on like what Pastor Donnie called friend dates. You'll hear us use that term. Hey, you should just friend date. So practice good relationship building skills on friends and find out what you like or would like in a spouse without ever having to date someone.
To define what a friend date is, it's when groups of friends just hang out. It's not like you like couple off and stuff.
Hey, do you want to go on a friend date with
that's
me?
That's so cool.
Yeah, no, that's awkward. No. Don't do that. That's one of those boundary ones. So we encourage you to go. I mean, the point here is to just practice the relationship skills that you have. You can practice those on friends and family and different people. Every relationship prepares you for the next step in life. Be content where God has placed you and in the plans he has for you. Start practicing building healthy relationships now. You can look forward to romantic relationships, but start sowing the seeds now in relationships that you're already in.
Something that she was talking about is focus. And I know how much you guys really like triangles. That's awesome. But this is something that helped Lauren and I when we when we talk to any person that's dating, any couple that we're doing premarital counseling in, anything like that, and this is what we want to get across to you. In every relationship in your life, God has to be at the top. Because here it is. We try so hard to work on, here's you and me at the bottom. We try so hard to work on this relationship between us. Try to get closer. How do I get closer to them? I just want to be so close. I just want to have this awesome relationship with them and just know everything about them, right? But God's saying, no. I don't want you to focus on them. I want you to focus on me. And catch this. As you and that other person focus on God and grow closer in your relationship with God, get this, as you grow closer in your relationship with God and they grow closer in their relationship with God, you guys grow closer together. And then you go up and it goes up. Some of you guys, when you get into geometry class, you're going to be like, this makes so much sense now, right? Geometry is really all about relationship building. That's all it really is. No. So all of a sudden we start to see that as we put God at the top, as we focus on God, as we grow closer in our relationship with God, that's when we start to grow closer with our relationship with the other person. And so you need to put your focus on God. You need to put your focus there. And so as we close, I want to real quick reiterate this. After I graduated from college and moved back home, we got engaged. And the following summer, we got married. And it was awesome and incredible. And I want you to catch this real fast, and I'll just say it real fast, even though we said we wouldn't talk about this. When you get into a relationship with someone, you're not getting into a romantic relationship just with them. You're getting into a romantic relationship, guess what, with their whole family. You don't just date her. You date the whole family. And so it's this whole idea that you need to realize, does my family work? Do I work in that family situation? And can we really build on this? And so that's what is important. And you got to realize that when you start dating somebody, that you need to work on the relationship skills with their family. So we said a lot tonight about relationships, about relational health. But those four key things that I want you to catch is make sure that you have boundaries. Think about those boundaries now. We were going to break into huddles, but we're not going to have time tonight. So think about those boundaries. God, what are boundaries that you want to set up in my life? Right? We had a couple boundaries that we talked about. The next thing is talk about trust. God, I want to put my trust in you, because in order to trust them, I have to trust him first. I have to trust God first. And so what does that look like to trust God with everything? And that leads into the holding every relationship with an open hand, saying, God, if it's there, it's only because you let it be there, because I'm not focusing on holding on to this relationship. I'm focusing on you, Father. And I'm trusting you completely. And that's the fourth one, is focus. Where is your focus? Because God wants all of your heart. He doesn't just want a part of it. And we get so caught up, and there's this thing that, oh, you know, this person completes me. No, we just sang about it. God completes you. No one on earth completes you. No one. Lauren doesn't complete me. God completes me. And he gave me Lauren so that we together we can do something far more than we could ever do by ourselves. But I have to be a whole person, and she has to be a whole person for us to ever accomplish everything that God's created us to be. So we need to understand that God, I need to understand your relationship with me before I ever start to think about this romantic relationship thing. Does that make sense? Capish? Kapash? Awesome. So let's pray.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.